We've been doing a series in 1 Peter called Overcoming Suffering, and the title of this morning's message is Don't Doubt in the Darkness. Don't Doubt in the Darkness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word today, you would help us to have confidence in you, even when life is going pear-shaped, even when things are going wrong, even when disasters befall us and tragedies come. Lord, we want to be able to live on that higher plane with our minds set on things above, not on the things of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Occasionally, I have cause to walk through our home in the pitch blackness. Now, I know our home pretty well. I know where the doorways are, and I know where the obstacles are. If I were to move in the shortest route from the kitchen through the bedroom, I know that I have to negotiate four doorways. And as I move through in the dark, I can put my hands on the door frames and know exactly where I am. Now, I'd have problems if I started to think, what if someone moved the door frames? Or what if someone changed the floor plan of my home? And I don't do that, of course. It sounds quite ridiculous. No, I don't doubt in the dark what I know to be true in the light. Dear friends, that's a really helpful phrase as we seek to live our Christian lives. I don't know who said it first, but someone said, don't doubt in the darkness what you've seen in the light. Or don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Truth is still truth, whether you're in a wide place or whether you're in some dark tunnel. But what do? We let the doubts take hold when we're in the dark, when we need to believe in the dark what we've come to see as truth in the light. I'd like to take that concept even a step further today and say, when trials come, you don't ditch what you know to be true. You treasure what you know to be true. We need the wisdom of Peter. For this is Peter's reminder to us in 1 Peter chapters 1 and through chapter 2. In the verses chapter 1 verse 18 through chapter 2 and verse 3, we're reminded of two resources that are a treasure to us always. The first resource that we are to treasure always is the blood. The blood. Last time that we were in 1 Peter, we concentrated on the return of Jesus Christ. But we need to remember that when Peter brought up this subject of the return of Christ, he was thinking about the trials. He was thinking about the fiery trials that the people were in. He was thinking about the persecution they were undergoing. And so he was saying to them, find rest that is found in hope and faith in the return of Jesus Christ. This is, if you're living for the Lord Jesus, this is a great thing that the Lord is coming back for us. But for those who are not saved, you better get ready. And for those that are Christians and are not living for the Lord Jesus, we need to live holy. So the return of Christ is a motivator for all of us in life. If we are persecuted, we could say, well, the Christian life doesn't work, does it? I've lived for the Lord and he's allowed this to happen. Just doesn't work. What's the point? I might as well live how I like. But Peter says, no, no, don't give up. Be obedient. Be God's obedient, holy children, living in fear, for Jesus will come back to deliver you. Be faithful. He is coming back. Rest your hope in that. So we pick it up at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That is in the fear of God, that you might walk holy. Don't give up. Continue in hope and faith. Remember that Jesus Christ is coming back for you. And also remember what Jesus Christ paid for you. That continues in verse 18, knowing that you were not You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Remembering that you are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ ought to help us during those times of trial when everything is black. We don't doubt in the dark what God has shown us to be true in the light. So I want us to remember the precious blood of Christ this morning. Last time we mentioned it, but this morning I want to emphasize it that we might treasure the blood of Christ. Some time back we mentioned that there are two resources. Peter mentioned two resources that are there to help us during time of trial. The first was Christ the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's go back to verse 6. Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Okay, you're going through these trials, but you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory in the Savior. And not only the Savior, the second resource to help through trials that we've mentioned before is salvation. And that's in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So to the resource of the Lord Jesus himself and to the resource of salvation to help you through trials, Peter now adds some more resources to help us in our trials. And the first of these is the blood, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of lamb without blemish and without spot. Trials come, don't they? If you haven't been through a trial yet, there's one on its way. Trials come. We find ourselves doubting, and then we're ready to give up. But we are to, according to verses 6 to 8, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and find a resource in the Savior himself. And we are to look to home, where we enjoy ultimate salvation. That's what it said in verse 9. And now Peter says, "And don't forget what the Lord Jesus Christ paid for you. Yes, continue to live for the Lord, for he is coming, and continue to live for him, for he paid for what he paid for you is beyond price." Why don't you read those verses with me this time? Let's really get them in our heart and mind. Verse 18, read with me if you're reading in the New King James. "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Dear brother and sister, gold was not enough to purchase you. Silver was not enough to purchase you. The most valuable thing in all the world to the Father was the Son. And he gave his Son for you. His life ebbed away. His blood flowed. He gave that for you. His blood is far more precious than silver and gold or gemstones. Three times the New Testament uses this word precious, where it says precious blood, uses that same word precious to describe gemstones. But Christ's blood is far more precious than all the gemstones that we could gather in the universe, of course. His precious blood could be compared to the precious promises. Peter mentions the precious promises in 2 Peter. Those promises also come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Precious promises, precious blood, and we need to count them as precious. Gold and silver was used to buy slaves in Bible days. But we were purchased, we who were slaves to sin were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. How much does the Father value us then, if he was willing to give for us what he valued most? And if he purchased us with the precious blood of Christ, he's not going to forget us in the trials of life. Remember that when you're in the dark. Look ahead to Christ's return and look back on the precious blood of Christ and keep living for him in faith and hope. Don't forget in the darkness of trials what you've seen in the light of blessing in your lives. When trials come, you don't doubt, you remember. When trials come, you don't ditch the Christian life. You continue to be as holy as you know how. When trials come, you don't ditch the truth that you know. You treasure the truth that you know. And part of that truth is he gave his blood for you. Treasuring the blood of Christ in the darkness will help you to remember how much God loves you. Remembering the blood of Christ is meant to give you faith and hope. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And verse 21, who through him, believing God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I would summarize what Peter is trying to say in these verses as, remember that you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ so that you have faith and hope in God always, in the light and in the dark. The author to the Hebrews also understood the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 we read, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes and a heifer and sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, brother and sister, Christ's blood is rare. It was one man only, and it was one time only. There were many Old Testament sacrifices, and those sacrifices were always insufficient. But there is one New Testament sacrifice, which was sufficient for all men and for all sin. The blood is precious. It ought to be treasure. It ought to be a treasure to us beyond reckoning. Bobby was 54, and he'd worked the mines of Lightning Ridge for years. One day he was going through a bucket of rough, uncut opals and checking them out. At the bottom, he found another piece of poor quality opal, and he was chipping away at the scum just like he'd done every piece through the bucket. And under the scum was a opal of rare quality. Bobby hid the opal in his mattress at night, and he carried it on his body during the day. He carried and hid that opal for 10 years. He admits, I looked at that opal more times than is healthy. Finally, the opal was expertly examined. The official report read, rare and notable, large size and thickness, of virtually pure opal, pleasing proportions and polished with no treatment. Then the Wall Street Journal said in 2013, it's been more than a decade to market one of the world's most impressive opals, which will be on sale this weekend. The minimum asking price is $3 million. Called the Royal One, the 306-carat gem, quality black opal, is almost double the size of the Aurora Australis, which was found in 1938 and worth $1 million. That is just one gem. And I think there was a diamond found recently which was worth even more. Just one gem. Once in the history of the universe, an impeccable, perfect man shed his precious blood once for all. May I ask this morning, how much do you value Christ's blood? Do we value it like Bobby valued his opal? Do we hold the Lord Jesus close? Do we marvel at him, to use Bobby's words, more times than is healthy? Well, looking at an opal that many times makes it an idol. But looking unto the Lord Jesus constantly is only right. How much do we gaze upon him? Can I fathom why the Father would give what was most precious to him for you or for me when we've been made scum by sin? Knowing that Jesus is a lamb without blemish and without spot, knowing that he shed what was precious blood for me, don't I realize how much the Father loved me, that he would give his Son and his precious blood for me? So when it feels like God doesn't love us in the trial, we remember the precious blood. We remember what God did for us, that the Father loves us yet. He loves us so much that he wants us to turn out right. And he allows trials in our life to shape us. And so in love, the trials become the chisel blows that conform us to the image of Christ. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then the end of verse 21, so that your faith and hope are in God. Remember this, so that your faith and hope are in God. Treasure the blood. It's cleansed you from all sin. It proves that the Father loves you. You have been bought with a price. Treasure the blood. The memory of it is going to take you through the darkest trial as we bring it to memory, what Christ did for us. You don't discard your treasure when you need it the most. Remember in the dark the precious blood that blessed you in the light. The second resource that we are to treasure always is the word. Verses 17 to 21 say that because you treasure the blood, don't give up, live holy. And verses 22 following says, because you treasure the word, don't give up. Love others, live holy, lap up the word of God. You'll see that the scripture, the word of God, is the central theme of the next section. So let's read verses 22 and following. We'll notice the words that refer to the Bible as we move through. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that's the truth of the word of God, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. That incorruptible is referring to the seed of the word. Through the word of God, there it is again, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So right throughout that section, it's referring to the word of God. But there are a number of things associated with the word of God in that section. First of all, love is mentioned in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. In other words, since you have loved your brothers and sisters in the past, in obedience to the scripture, love one another in the present. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, living holy is mentioned. Loving each other, verse 22. Living holy, chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. That's talking about living holy. And then lapping up the word is mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Treasure the word during those times of trial. Treasure the word. Don't give up. Keep loving others, keep living holy, and keep lapping up the word of God. What I see Peter saying here in this section is, in trials, don't throw in the towel. Keep living the Christian life of love and holiness dependent upon the word of God. Nolene had pneumonia recently, and so they started her on antibiotics. Well, despite the antibiotics, she didn't get better. The response of the doctors was not to give up on the antibiotics. The response of the doctors was to give stronger antibiotics, to give more antibiotics, and to mainline those antibiotics. When life gets worse, we don't give up on the Christian habits like the word and prayer. We take more of the word in stronger doses. We mainline the truth into our lives. When trials come, you don't ditch the scripture, you treasure the scripture and you live it. And the first way we are to live it, according to verse 22, is by loving the brethren. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. When trials come, you don't start living for yourself. You continue to love the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Fervently. Since you have obeyed the word by loving others, continue to obey the word in loving others. Continue to love one another, even in trials. Do it fervently and do it with a pure heart. You can't let your love diminish just because you're going through a hard time. Fervently means with all of your heart. And since you love as brothers, love sacrificially. The word used here is agape. Since you love as brothers, do it sincerely. Loving sincerely means without criticism, for example. Pure heart, with a pure heart. You don't put on a show of love with them and then trash them behind their backs. Pure hearts, please. May I ask this morning, do you attend any other church? If the answer is yes, you need to decide which church God wants you to attend. I'm thinking that some might be attending here regularly and somewhere else regularly. You need to decide which is your church family and be committed to it. If your answer is no, I don't attend any other church, then may I say clearly, this is your church. We are your church family. And you're to love us. Something harder. Love me. With all your heart and with all sincerity. That's obeying the truth. And you keep doing it during trials. I keep doing it during hard times. If this is your church and you only attend Sunday mornings, you are disobeying the scripture. You need more contact with us than that to love us. To love us fervently and sincerely. You can't love people just 1 hour a week. There's got to be fellowship. There's got to be interaction. There's got to be times in our homes. There's got to be a day which is given to the Lord. What do you need to do to change today? And yes, we all must keep loving each other during trials. If trials were some excuse to stop loving one another, then there would be no love, for we all face challenges in our lives. Having obeyed the scripture, we continue to treasure the scripture. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. We're not redeemed by corruptible gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And we are not born again by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God, the precious word of God. We're born again by the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Scriptures. We're born again by the eternal Spirit and we're born again by the eternal word of God. because it is the eternal word, verse 24, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Therefore, it is precious. Treasure the word of God always. Treasure the blood always. Treasure the word always. Don't neglect in the dark what you have seen in the light. Treasure in the dark what you have treasured in the light. When trials come, you keep loving others, and secondly, you keep living holy. You keep living holy. Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Now, if we lay aside the things mentioned in that verse, we are going to be living holy. Malice refers to all kinds of wickedness and comes of despising others. We just don't care if they're hurt or not. That's malice. Despising others. Deceit refers to trickery and comes of wanting to use others. Malice of despising others. Deceit of wanting to use others. Hypocrisy is being one person at church and different elsewhere. It comes of wanting to impress others. Our families know when we're being hypocrites. If our children see our hypocrisy, they'll want none of our Lord Jesus Christ. They know if we speak holy at church and watch rubbish on TV. They know if we speak love at church and spew anger at home. They know if we talk about truth, but when the telephone rings, you say, tell them I'm not here. They know if we say to someone, lovely to see you, and then rubbish them in the car. Holiness requires no malice, no guile, no hypocrisy. Envy is wanting what others have and comes of thinking I am better and deserve more than others. It comes of thinking I am better than others. And so does evil speaking. Evil speaking literally means talking down others and is going to include gossip and slander. It's a critical attitude that again comes of pride. I'm better than others. When we're in trials, we cannot stop loving others. When we're in trials, we cannot stop living holy. And when we're in trials, we cannot stop lapping up the Word of God. And that's the third thing. If we're in a trial and going backward, we need more love. We need more holiness. We need more of the Word. The Word is the antibiotic of the soul to heal and to help during those times of trial. In trial, we should treasure the blood and be holy. In trials, we should treasure the Word and love and be holy and lap up the Word. In trials, we don't give up our Christian lives. In trials, we strengthen our Christian lives. We treasure the blood more. We treasure the Word more. One man writes, when I was a child, I didn't like milk. But my mum knew I needed it, so she put in all kinds of powder additives and all kinds of syrups to make the milk taste better. He says, none of them worked. It's sad when Christians have no taste for the Word of God, like some children have no taste for milk. We might say, if they have no taste for the Word, are they really the Lord's at all? Well, we add all kinds of things to the Word of God to try and make it more palatable for people. We add Christian entertainments, and we add church socials, and we add food, all to make the Word of God more appealing. And of course, for some people, it makes no difference. When trials come, people drop out of church. They stop reading the Word when they should be taking more and better antibiotics. We need more prayer. We need more of the Word. We need more fellowship with each other to encourage our hearts in the Lord Jesus. Oh, how we should treasure the blood and how we should treasure the Word of God, because they are precious. Saved by the blood and growing through the Word of God. It's our very life. There's nothing I could tell you that you've not already heard. You've walked the narrow way for years, trusted in God's Word. But at times we all forget, and at times we need a friend to speak a word of kindness and remind us once again. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Even in the valley where there seems no end in sight, Remember what he promised. Run to him and hold on tight. Don't doubt in the darkness what he's shown you in the light. Don't give up, brother and sister. His precious blood proves that he's loves you. His precious word is there to strengthen you. Don't doubt in the darkness of trial what you've learned in the light of blessing. That'll keep you oriented, even in the darkness, so you know where you're going. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word, which tells us about your precious promises and the precious blood and the preciousness of the Lord Jesus to us, so that we rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. We are pilgrims. This world is not our home. We are passing through. So we set our mind on things above. We know what you're doing, Lord. We know that you're drawing us to yourself. We know that you're shaping us to be like your Son. We trust you. You're altogether trustworthy. You're a God of grace and love and mercy. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we want to find rest. In the good times and the bad times, we want to defer everything to you. So, Jesus, we want to be resting in the joy of what you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.